Just think about this. Heart disease has been the leading cause of death in the United States for much of the 20th and 21st centuries. It became the number one cause of death around the 1920s, and heart disease is still the number one killer in the U.S. today. Is there any way of stopping this scourge? We ask a cardiologist for advice. And think about this. For those born in 1900, the average life expectancy was just 47 years old, while babies born in the U.S. today can expect to live to 79. But is it possible to double or triple that or more? Doctors are discussing stunning extensions to our lifespans. And does kindness seem like something we've left behind these days? A man known as the Kindness Guy tells us where it might be hiding and how you can find it. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. February was Heart Health Month, but it's a topic we need to be thinking about year-round, especially because even though we're making progress, heart disease remains the number one killer of Americans. That's a conundrum, and we thought we'd talk to an expert about it. Dr. Ernst von Schwartz is a cardiologist, author, and longevity expert at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Good to see you, doctor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Hal.
Well, among the many things you do, we said you're a cardiologist. So, you know, you must face this question all the time, which is, you know, with all the awareness on heart disease as a killer, why is it so persistent?
Well, because we all die at one point, of course, and the limiting factor for life is our heart function. So if the heart doesn't work, none of the other organs work. I just did an angiogram an hour ago, actually, in the hospital, someone with kidney failure, and the family was very concerned. Well, don't we hurt the kidneys more? Yes, we do, I said, but the heart is more important. So if the heart doesn't work, the kidneys don't matter. So still, as you mentioned, people die of heart disease more than of all other diseases combined. And the interesting thing is there's a lot we can do nowadays, we as physicians, but also we as patients, because at one time in our life, we all might get there and have heart disease.
Well, aging is what it is, right? And our insides age just like our outsides age. And so what are some of the things you want to tell people about what they ought to be doing to take care of the ticker?
Well, we all know about the essential eight, which was promoted by the American Heart Association, which means there's four factors, we call them health factors. In the past, we called them actually risk factors,
right.
But now we want to be more positive,
right.
Health factors. And there's four behavioral aspects. And we all should work on those. And the risk factors or health factors are: what's your sugar in the blood? What's your cholesterol? What's your blood pressure? And what's your weight? Because all those compromise the risk factors to develop coronary artery disease and heart failure. And the behavioral aspects are, of course, the amount of exercise we do. We all should do more. It's very important what we eat, meaning the diet, of course. Sleep pattern, very important also. And we have to basically avoid the toxic substances, which kills all of us. And the worst of all, as you know, is smoking.
Right. It all sounds so easy, right? But we're not doing it as a society as a whole. And why not?
Well, I'll give you an example. I just an hour ago had a patient in my office, and she's 75 years, a very, very nice lady.
Young woman.
Yeah, very nice and in a good condition, but morbidly obese. She had a heart attack. I put a stent in her 6 months earlier. She has diabetes and she has high blood pressure. And she has back pain and hip pain. And she was telling me that she was watching a video of a 25-year-old model telling her how to do yoga and some stretching and exercise. This woman, of course, knows she never will look like that 25-year-old model. It's just not going to happen. So even though we encourage exercise and we have to encourage it more, it has to be individualized. So that lady, the 75-year-old, will not be able to do what a 20-year-old can do in the gym, but it starts today, and everybody, even at advanced ages,
lifelong.
Can start.
It's lifelong. It's not lifelong. Like it starts at 74.
No, but even if you are 80 years old and you start today and you have never done exercise in your life, you can gain additional years of life. So studies have shown you even late start of exercise and diet can prolong life.
Are we making progress toward treating heart disease?
We do. Actually, we have a wide armamentarium of electrical therapy, of interventional therapy, of medical therapy, pharmacomedical therapy. Mm-hmm. For example, we do more through the groins or arms in the heart than rather than cutting the chest open. So the intervention, and I'm an interventional cardiologist, interventional cardiology is able now to not only put stents in clogged arteries, but we even can replace valves, aortic valve, mitral valve, through the groin.
That was a long time ago, though, they used to take a chisel and a hammer and break the chest apart.
Well, we still do that, of course, our cardiac surgeons still do that, but we can do a lot of those things non-invasively or semi-invasively so that the patients can go home the next day.
We've heard a lot of stories lately, and we've done a lot of stories lately that are supposed to help your heart. Things like coffee, things like a tiny amount of like 2 to 3 minutes or 5 minutes maybe of exercise. Third being outside in nature, and fourth, the popular weight loss drug, Wegovy. Mm-hmm. And so what's your sense of these sort of things? Are these progress?
Well, you mentioned the exercise, that's absolutely right, but 5 minutes is actually not enough.
Yeah.
So the recommendation by the American Medical Association, and that has changed, by the way, just a few years ago, is nowadays a duration of 30 minutes per day for 5 days a week of what we call moderate intensity exercise, meaning ideally we need to get our heart rate up, we need to break out in a sweat, we need to get short of breath. This is a real exercise. And the reason why we want to do that, and we should do that, all of us, is because we want to keep our blood vessels elastic.
Right.
Because one aspect of aging, if not one of the main reasons, is that we lose the elasticity of the blood vessels, they become stiff, and that leads to plaque deposition and calcification, and then
the
blood vessels
the
get tight, and then right. And then we have heart attacks and strokes.
All right.
Exercise is essential for that.
We've got a lot to talk to you about, Dr. Von Schwartz, so stick around. And that includes a discussion of your book, Secrets of Immortality. Yeah, immortality, not mortality. And that sounds like a tantalizing subject matter. Can't wait to have you get into that. And we'll be right back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. We're back on Fox 11 News in depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Let's welcome back Dr. Ernst von Schwartz. Dr. Schwartz, and it's actually von Schwartz, right?
That's correct.
That's a two-name name. In addition to being a cardiologist, you're also a longevity expert at Cedar Sinai Medical Center. I'm fortunate to have some good longevity genes in my family. In fact, I want you to meet somebody from my family at the age of 100. Take a look.
Smile, and the whole world will smile with you as beginning now. Smile, everybody, smile.
That's my aunt.
Oh, really?
She passed away a few years ago at the age of 104.
Wow.
That was her at 100. At 100, she was still very feisty. Mm-hmm. Didn't that make you smile?
Absolutely.
That makes me smile every time I watch it.
Yeah.
And yet as she got to 102, 103, and 104, it got more difficult. So, you know, we talk about my aunt, we talk about people and families that may have, you know, longevity in those families. You have a book. The book is The Secrets of Immortality. And that's what we're kind of talking about when we're talking about people with age. The Secrets of Immortality, and now medical science making enormous advancements in these fields of anti-aging and longevity science. But this book doesn't really promise immortality.
Absolutely not. And I don't believe in what we call biologic immortality. That doesn't exist, and I don't think it ever will. But what I do believe in, and what we do on a daily basis, is we can and we are able nowadays to prolong life. And I'm not just meaning lifespan, meaning years of how long we live, but health span, meaning quality of life. We want to avoid things like frailty. We want to avoid the immobility. I see that every day when I round in the hospitals.
Right.
So we want to keep patients going, being active into high ages, and live longer and better.
But would you agree that these are like automobiles and they have so many miles on them? And there's a point at which it may be difficult to keep them in warranty. And you've said, and I want to ask you about this, that people could add 150 years or more to their lifespan Is that really feasible? 150? I mean, at 104, she couldn't. You know.
I mean, theoretically, it is possible. I think so, yeah. Because, look, in medicine, when I went to medical school, for example, we were taught what we call reactive medicine. So a patient comes with pain and there's some damage,
right.
We treat that. But now we have this paradigm shift to what we call regenerative medicine, which includes stem cell therapy, which in my opinion is the future of modern medicine, where we have the ability really to interfere with senescence, which is cellular aging, and we have the ability to repair age-related degeneration or damage.
Right. So we have stem cell therapy. What other innovations might we see over the next 10 years?
Well, there's gene therapy, there's stem cell therapy, there's a plethora of medications which are studied at the current time, which might be able to prolong life. One you might have heard about is metformin, which is a very old drug used for diabetes. It is tested right now in two large-scale, multi-center clinical trials for potential longevity effects.
Well, what is it in metformin that does that?
Well, nobody exactly knows.
Right.
For many medications, unfortunately, we know they work, but we don't know.
But some things are just empirical, right? They're anecdotal. They're not necessarily based in science.
Well, it is empirical science, but we don't know the biochemical pathways or mechanisms yet. But there's a lot of things. There is no miracle pill which makes people live 120, 150 years old. But it is a combination of lifestyle, of different things, of regenerative medicine, of avoid toxic substances, of course. All this comes together, and this can create longevity.
Okay, I hope I get this right, but tell me about nutraceuticals.
Okay.
It's like pharmaceuticals and neutral, but what is nutraceuticals?
Well, nutraceuticals, this is a wide term, which basically means there are certain substances in our diet or as supplements available, which might be beneficial in case, number one, there's a deficiency, and some people believe even that there might be anti-aging effects. So, as an example, you might have heard about NAD, which is a cofactor. A lot of people talk about that, especially in Hollywood. A lot of people get injections of NAD on a weekly base. If you look at the scientific literature, there is not much there. But there's a handful of smaller studies which show that NAD supplementation can improve metabolic activity of certain organ systems. Mm. And that can help to keep the guts healthier, can help to keep the blood vessels more elastic and healthier. So there might be something to it.
Is that available?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's available. But I'm not a biohacker, so I don't believe in swallowing 20, 30 pills because someone says they work and there's no scientific evidence. So the real anti-aging nowadays has to be scientifically based on clinical studies.
But when we talk about biohacking, just to be clear, mm-hmm. You're talking about like red light therapy, things like that?
Well, biohacking means basically individuals do out-of-the-box medications. Some people swallow 50 tablets a day and inject whatever substances and believe it makes them younger. That usually is not the case. Our anti-aging is based on the basic research of senescence, and we know that we can interfere now with the biological pathways of senescence, of cellular aging.
Basically. So if some things are cosmetic and some things are steeped in what you consider to be reality, we only have a few seconds left.
Yeah.
What do you consider to be the thing that is the most efficacious?
Well, we have to find a way to close that gap between basic research and clinical application, what we call translational medicine. So we have to use the data from the basic research for humans to treat. And that is basically the future of medicine.
All right, Dr. Von Schwartz, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here. Coming up next on Fox 11 News and Death, kindness. Does that sound like an old-fashioned word to you? It's hard to find these days, but a man known internationally as the Kindness Guy has some tips for finding it and sharing it. And we'll be right back to meet that man. Don't go away. Thank you. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We've been talking about heart health, but there are actually several interpretations of the word heart. And while we've discussed the health of the actual muscle in our chest, we now want to turn to a different interpretation of heart, as in the heart of our emotions, right? And that's a subject that feels especially important these days. Leon Ligothetis is with us right now. He's a best-selling author and motivational speaker. He's known internationally as the Kindness Guy. And Leon, good to see you. Nice to meet you. I like to meet anybody who's named the Kindness Person. That's pretty. How'd you get that?
Oh, it's a long, long story, but by basically just being kind as much as I possibly could.
Were you always kind?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, tell me about that part.
So I used to be a broker in the City of London.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I was not being particularly kind, and I found that my life wasn't really going the way I wanted it to be, so I quit my job and started to travel around the world relying on kindness.
You know, these days, kindness almost seems to be frowned upon. What can you say to people out there who believe kindness is weak, wimpy, and useless?
Well, we all know what it's like when someone's mean to us. We all know how that feels. And we all know, hopefully, what it's like when someone's kind to us. We know how that feels. So what I would suggest is when you go out into the world and you make another person feel magnificent, you also feel magnificent. So really, it's a win-win.
Psychologically.
And emotionally.
But there are triggers, right? Aren't there things that kind of just make you mad?
Sure, and I'm not here saying that I'm like a perfect human being. I'm not. Sometimes I can be unperfect, right? But you make a choice. I made a choice to try my best to come from my heart. And that's what I try and inspire people to do with my movies, with my books, with my shows.
It seems like the world needs kindness more now than ever. Would you agree with that?
I would say the world has always needed kindness, and I would say now, yes, we need kindness, but we always need kindness. It's part of who we are.
It can be hard to find. How do you create more?
You create more by making a decision to come from your heart. You create more by making a decision to treat people with love. And then who knows what happens? They may go out and treat someone else with love. But if I treat you meanly, the chances are you may go out and treat someone else mean.
The first person that I see.
Well, hopefully that first person's
right?
Not me.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. You know, you created a new film, The Kindness Within, A Journey to Freedom. Let's take a look at a clip of that.
We can actually become even more beautiful than we were before we were wounded.
We are all searching for something.
What is the purpose of life? Is it just to wake up, make babies, make money, go on a vacation, and then die? Surely there has to be more to why we're here.
This looks like a powerful journey. But the title, The Kindness Within, A Journey to Freedom, what does that mean exactly, and how is kindness related to freedom?
So the movie really is about becoming free. It's more of a mental health movie. It's about inspiring people to face themselves, to face their pain. Like, I'm the kindness guy, but you would think freedom. I'm always smiling. But the truth is I had pain, exactly like you, exactly like the people who are watching this. Face the pain, share the pain. And I did that by going on this adventure. And kindness within is that all the answers really, they lie within.
Which is the message you're trying to convey through this film.
Exactly.
And so you went on a spiritual journey, but is the message available to people who don't commit to that kind of an adventure?
100%. Because the message is simply to take that first step. Pick up the phone, call a therapist. Go to a bookstore, get a book about something that you're suffering. Take that first step. I did that journey, and you can too do that journey.
Is a spiritual connection essential to the message of kindness, or how would you connect to, say, an atheistic system of thought?
So for me, spirituality is really about coming from the heart, right? You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe anything. But you have to believe in the power of your heart. And everyone has that power.
Sometimes in our world, it feels like kindness can't possibly triumph over unkindness. How people can stay positive and kind, I guess, is sort of the question I have in my mind.
The kindness guy used to have road rage, okay?
You used to have road rage?
Yeah. And then one day I made a decision. I made a decision not to have road rage anymore. I made a choice to be kind. And that's my point. It is a choice. You get to choose how you show up.
Did you ever get in trouble for that?
No, of course not. I never did anything, but people would cut me off and I'd scream at them, exactly like everyone does.
Welcome to LA.
Exactly, but someone cut me off today and I was like, you know what? It's all right, it doesn't matter.
You know, I guess one question is how people can view this kindness within. What's the best way for us to introspectively look at that?
I find that all the answers come from within. And when we look within, solutions come to us. If we look without, if we look for materialism, if we look for all of the things that are out there, we will stay lost. But if we look within, we meditate and we stay calm and we see that all the answers, they come from within us. That's the purpose of the movie. The answers come from within us.
The answers come within us, but still we have to be proactive about pushing those answers out there.
Of course, you have to, like I said, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Do you want to go to the therapist? Do you want to read a book about how to resolve your depression? Or do you want to turn on the news and look at all the terrible things that are happening? It's a choice.
But how did you get to that point? How did you get there?
So,
I mean, you made a choice,
yes.
But how did you get there?
So I was a broker and I was living externally, materialistically. And I was very depressed and I had no sense of purpose. I watched the movie The Motorcycle Diaries, which is about a romanticized version of a man traveling around South America relying on kindness. I realized that we don't have to live from up here. So I started to live more from my heart. I started to meditate. I started to go out in nature. I started to read books about depression, about therapy. I started to share my pain with my friends. I started to journal. I did all of these things that kind of brought it back to what was going on inside me.
The journey within.
Exactly.
Got a website?
I do. People can go to thekindnesswithin.com.
All right, very good. I'm the kindness reporter.
Yes, you are.
We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this. Don't go away. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.